This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with innumerable blessings and gifts. And indeed, we are called upon by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be grateful for all of His blessings. So we say Alhamdulillah, and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our hearts, our words, and our actions. My brothers and sisters, as we discussed last week, there are among the many blessings that we enjoy, Alhamdulillah, is of course the peace and security that we enjoy in this country and in this land. And one of the other blessings that we enjoy, Alhamdulillah, is the ability to have an education and to have schools and an education system that is probably better in many ways in terms of resources and in terms of opportunities compared to many parts of the world, Alhamdulillah. And among the blessings is the fact that even though we are a very small minority in this country, so out of over 36, 37 million people, we are talking about 1.8 or 1.9 million Muslims, so about 3%, 3 to 4% of the population, but still, Alhamdulillah, there is recognition of the rights of Muslim students, Alhamdulillah, not just students, but also workers, to be able to practice your religion, to be able to have space and time to offer salah, to be able to get time off for Jumu'ah, for schools, for students to be able to establish Salatul Jumu'ah in schools. And mashallah, tabarakallah, I say often, and I'll say it again, I'm incredibly proud of our young people who, mashallah, in the current environment, in the public schools, are still, mashallah, maintaining their deen, maintaining their Muslim identity. They are not ashamed to call themselves Muslim. They are not afraid to offer salah and to fast and to practice the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And mashallah, when I am there sometimes in schools, they are not ashamed to come forward and to give salam. And they are essentially trying their best to practice their deen, to practice the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the opportunities and the environment that has been provided to them. And mashallah, this goes on to universities. So if you look at universities and colleges, mashallah, the Muslim students' associations are alive and they are vibrant, and Muslim students are gathering and they are practicing the deen, they are doing the work of da'wah, and mashallah, tabarakallah, there is a lot of good that we see, and I want to always acknowledge that and encourage our young people, our boys and girls, to continue forward on that path with steadfastness, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them istiqamah and to protect them as they continue forward. My brothers and sisters, we know that the system, the education system, the public school system, and generally the education system here, this is not an Islamic school system. So when you send your child, or when Muslim students go into public schools or public educational facilities and the system, they know, and we know, that they are not going into an Islamic system. When they go to the school, they are not going to the masjid. When they go to the university or to college, they are not going into an institution that is run on Islamic principles and based on Islamic values. And for the longest of times, challenges have existed with regards to what is morally acceptable in Islam versus what is acceptable in public, and especially in public education. So of course, because we have our beliefs and values which are based on the teachings of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and whereas the public system is not based on that, we know naturally that there will be, there have been, and there will continue to be instances where there are some challenges in that regard. Public schools, my brothers and sisters, are a reflection of society. So as society faces challenges and degenerates morally, those same challenges and the same degeneration is reflected to some extent in the public school system as well. What is different, though, is that previously, that which was prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the things which were seen as being morally objectionable or seen as being wrong, they wouldn't be actively promoted generally to the exclusion of all other views. But this is happening today. Okay, so what I mean by that is in the past, and even now, on a number of issues, there was and there is recognition in the schools and in society in general that there are different views and different beliefs on a matter. Right? So for example, if you look at religious views, there was a recognition, there is a recognition that not everyone is going to have the same religious beliefs, and that, you know, people will differ in terms of their belief in God, in spirituality, and in terms of the guidelines and the rules and regulations of the religion, right? This is something which is accepted. It is recognized that there will be different dietary restrictions. So some people will eat certain things and other people will not eat certain things. It is understood and accepted that there will be differences, or there may be differences when it comes to dress. So some people will dress in certain ways and others will not. So point is that there has been and there is a recognition with regards to generally many matters that there are different views and there is acceptability of that diversity of views, which is supposed to be the hallmark of a secular system or a liberal democracy. However, you know, what we are seeing is that today that has changed a bit. That approach has changed, and now certain views and beliefs are being promoted and being taught to children as being the only way to approach a situation, the only way to deal with certain circumstances to the exclusion of all others. Now, by law in Ontario, according to the Education Act of Ontario, school boards are required to create a safe and inclusive environment for all groups that are present in the school system and that are present in society, including those that have beliefs and values that don't align with ours. Okay, so this is required by law according to the Education Act of Ontario. This means that all groups will be recognized and will be acknowledged in the public school system, and all students will be taught about these groups with the intention or the objective of countering hate and stereotypes. Now, we happen to be one of those groups as well. So that means that students who are not Muslim, who don't believe in Islam, will learn about Muslims. They will learn about our beliefs and our practices. And perhaps they will also be given the opportunity, or they may be asked to celebrate in some of our participate in some of our celebrations as well. However, the same will also be expected then of us in return as well, in order to, from the school's perspective or from the government's perspective, in order to promote or foster harmony and kindness between people of all faiths and backgrounds, because we live in incredibly diverse societies. So their objective that they claim is to bring everyone together and to foster a sense of togetherness and harmony so that everyone is able to live peacefully together in harmony with kindness and respect. Of course, hate and bullying against anyone is wrong. And we must make sure, especially as parents, that we stand against it and we teach our children about it. You see, one of the challenges is that when we are concerned about an issue, or when we are concerned about certain practices and certain beliefs, and rightfully so, and mashallah, it is actually very encouraging and very inspiring to see the level of concern amongst the Muslim parents, mashallah. The fact that, alhamdulillah, you know, we are not oblivious to what is happening, and we have this concern inside of our hearts that we do care about our children, and we do care about our values, and we do care about our beliefs. And when we see something which is objectionable, it creates a concern inside of us. So this is something which is very commendable, and this is something which is very encouraging, mashallah. With that, we must realize that our children are not equipped, especially young children, are not equipped to navigate these issues and to understand these challenges in the way that we may be able to understand. And when we express a lot of concern or perhaps a lot of anxiety in front of our children, they may not know how to channel that. And it may come out in ways which is not healthy because they are not equipped to cope with it. Therefore, it is important for us that when we talk about these challenges and are expressing concern about these challenges and our children are aware of it, that we also explain to them what is not appropriate and what we do not want them to do. So we do not want them to express hate against any people. We do not want them to bully anyone, because this is not part of the teachings of our religion, first of all. And secondly, it does not help the situation. It actually makes it worse, right? It complicates the situation more. So this is a conversation that is important for us to have with our children to ensure that they are able to channel their emotions, or they are able to channel whatever they are hearing in a positive way, or at least not in a negative way. That being said, it is not unreasonable for you as parents to expect that a secular school board will not take positions to promote certain set of values and beliefs over others. Because the whole point, by definition, of being secular is to have a separation between belief, values, and systems and the running of government or the running of a system. So by definition, the school board is supposed to be neutral when it comes to matters of personal beliefs and values. It's one thing to recognize a group, right, and to acknowledge that this group exists, and they have their values, and they have their beliefs, and they have their celebrations, just like Muslims are recognized. But it's another to promote certain values and beliefs to the exclusion of all other points of view. And as such, the public school system needs to acknowledge different views on such matters and give students the option to not actively participate in activities that they and their families believe are incompatible with their sincerely held beliefs. Right? So there is an important balance here, an important distinction here, that yes, it is important to ensure that there is no hate or bullying against anyone. It is important to a certain degree to foster harmony and understanding, but at the same time, it is not appropriate to promote and impose certain values and beliefs and say that there is no room to disagree in this and that you must believe in this, and if you do not believe in this, essentially you will be gaslighted, right? So that approach is incorrect. Now, alhamdulillah, we do now have a Muslim leaders working group that is active now and is liaising with the school board here in Ottawa on navigating these challenges. We must recognize that there are good people who want to do the right thing. And this is a challenging situation. So patience will be required, and it is not expected to be a quick process. We are not expecting to see any results overnight. And on that point, I also want to highlight the fact that there is great disappointment amongst many teachers who felt that they were going out of their way to be inclusive and to be supportive of different groups in their schools, including Muslims, and they really tried, genuinely tried, to foster an environment of inclusivity and that was positive and that, you know, in which everyone was getting along. And they feel, from their perspective, that that has not worked and that their efforts have perhaps gone to waste and their efforts are not being reciprocated. We may not agree, or you may not agree with that feeling of frustration or that position, but it's important to recognize that there are many good people, including many teachers and principals and decision makers, who have actively gone out of their way and tried to create an environment where Muslim students were welcomed, where, for example, Ramadan and Eid celebrations were recognized, where they tried to deal with Islamophobia, and they tried to actively go out of the way in giving space for Salah and encouraging Muslim students to practice their faith. So in their view, they really tried their best, but they feel that this effort is not recognized and is not being reciprocated. So this is from their perspective, and it is important to recognize goodness where people have made good efforts and are trying to do the right thing. And it is important, along with recognition to continue to encourage them to do that as well. Now, of course, you know, this feeling that they're having is perhaps, you know, due to misunderstanding, or perhaps, you know, they tried from their perspective to do what they felt was best, but maybe, you know, there was some lacking on our part in terms of, you know, explaining where we stand and so on and so forth. So there could be more details about that. But it's just important to recognize that there is a feeling of frustration amongst teachers that may be coming out in certain ways. So this is an opportunity for us to take a step back, especially as parents, and acknowledge the good that we have seen, and use that then as an opportunity to have healthy conversations, inshallah. Now, in the meantime, because I said that, you know, this is not going to be an issue that is going to be resolved very, very quickly. In the meantime, and just generally, parents do have a very important role to play, and especially with their children. And of course, this applies to you if you're a parent with children who are, you know, in this age group who are going to school. But even if you don't, you know, maybe you have grandchildren, or maybe you will have children, inshallah, in the future. So this is relevant for all of us. So first of all, it is incredibly important that we educate ourselves on the detailed Islamic positions on these matters. We must be grounded and have clarity in terms of what we actually believe in and what our position is, what the Islamic scholars say, and what our deen teaches. Right. So for example, if a Muslim male develops intimate attraction to another male, what should they do about it? And likewise, if that happens to a female, what should they do? And how should they deal with that? How about if someone actually feels that they are of the wrong gender, that they were born with or they were assigned the wrong gender? Such challenges do exist, and people do become lost and confused when they don't have clarity which is grounded in authentic teachings. And this includes Muslims as well, young and old. These are not issues that we are immune to as a community. These issues and such challenges do exist in our communities, with individuals in our communities, including young people. So we must learn to have clarity so that we are able to articulate balanced and well-grounded positions on these matters, especially with our children. Because if your child is learning about these things at school, and you don't know what Islam actually says in detail about these things, you will not be able to explain to your children, and you will not be able to connect with them in a manner that actually makes sense to them. So that's number one. Number two, my brothers and sisters, is the importance of developing a strong bond with your child, to have a strong relationship with your child. And subhanAllah, with so many challenges that we see, at the core of it is the strength of the relationship that parents have with their child. So many challenges can be averted and can be dealt with much easily if there is a strong bond between the parents and the child. So developing a strong bond with your child and telling them that if they ever face such challenges, that they should come and tell you first. It may not be something that you want to hear. It may not be something that you want to deal with. But you're much better off having that solid relationship with them and having your child trust you to the point that they're comfortable to come and share with you their challenges. But you must promise that you are not going to overreact, and you are not going to panic, and that there will be no drama if this happens. Your child must trust you and feel safe. Otherwise, your situation is going to become a lot more challenging. So it's much better off that you have a strong bond with your child, that your child feels comfortable to come to you and share their challenges and their struggles. Number three, make your children comfortable by loving them and caring for them and by being there for them, by being involved in their lives in a positive way. Develop a good relationship and encourage them to share with you anything that they experience outside of the home, regardless of whether it is this matter or any other matter. Because once your child is away from home, you may never find out what is happening. So developing that strong bond will allow your child to feel comfortable in sharing things with you. Number four, develop a positive relationship with your child's teachers and the school administration. be a positive presence in the school, thank them for their good efforts, volunteer in the schools, and be engaged. Because at the end of the day, when your child goes into that classroom and you're no longer there, their interface is with their teacher. And you do not have any control over what happens inside that classroom. So it is in your best interest to have a positive relationship with your child's teacher. The more understanding you can build and the more, the stronger of a connection that you have with them, the easier it will be for you to navigate challenges when they come. And the poorer the relationship that you have, or if you have no relationship with your child's teacher, then it will be incredibly difficult to face and deal with challenges. When you do have concerns, number 5, raise them kindly in a balanced way. You know, communicating with anger in an emotional state does not help. Let me repeat that once again. Communicating in an emotional state, in a state of anger, does not help your case. So be calm, be cool, be collected, be informed, and be polite. And of course, you can be firm. So it's not to say that you can't have your position. Of course, you can have your position. But be calm and cool and collected and polite, and this will give you the best chance of actually getting your issue addressed in a positive way, inshallah. Finally, my brothers and sisters, I want to reassure you that if you have done your job in giving good tarbiyah to your children, and you are trying your best in instilling in them good Islamic values, and you are connected to the community, and they have a subculture that they are a part of that is based on Islamic values, and you maintain a good, strong relationship with them and their school, then inshallah you will have nothing to worry about. Okay, inshallah. These are ongoing challenges. Such challenges have existed in the past in different ways, and they will continue to exist. And they will not just exist in schools, but they will exist in all of society around the world. Okay. So, at the end of the day, if you have done your homework, and the most important thing you can do, especially when your children are young, and they are in their formative years, is to give them a strong Islamic upbringing. If you give them a good tarbiyah, and you try your best, and you're engaged in the community, and you give them a good environment as much as possible, then inshallah, there's a very good chance that even though they might have some bumps and, you know, some ups and downs, in the end, inshallah, they will be fine. So this is what we can do right now, and we can continue to do for our children. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy, and there is no need to panic, inshallah, as long as we do our work and our job. We have the famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, related, and we've mentioned this before, of course, many times. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadihi, fa in lam yastati' fa bi lisanihi, fa in lam yastati' fa bi qalbihi, wa dhalika ad'afu al-iman. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever amongst you sees evil, let him change it with his hand, and if he cannot do so, then with his tongue. And if he cannot do so, then with his heart, which is the weakest level of faith. My brothers and sisters, this hadith is a recognition. The Prophet ﷺ has recognized that we will not always be able to change that which is objectionable through our hands or our words. There will be situations where we don't have the skill, we don't have the strength, we don't have the opportunity, or perhaps doing anything will not actually result in positivity, but rather will cause more harm in the big picture. There can be situations like that. And the least we are encouraged to do and instructed to do is to recognize what is wrong as wrong with our hearts. And this is also a form of confronting evil. This also is a form of confronting evil. It is not a situation of helplessness. Yes, it is a situation of the bare minimum that our faith calls us to. But at the same time, it is worth something. And it is an action that we can take, inshallah. In the end, we know and we believe and we say, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best to protect us and the best to stand for us. and to represent us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to guide us and protect us. We make lots of dua, and that is something that we must continue to do, inshaAllah. We try our best, and we leave for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the rest. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us and our children, and indeed all people, to see the truth as the truth, and to recognize what is wrong as what is wrong. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, our future generations, and all of our future progeny until the Day of Judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us relief and guidance out of all such situations. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We'll take a quick break and continue.